Today on Jay Sekulow Live, failed Democrat candidate for president Mike Bloomberg activates a felon voter base for Joe Biden. Not kidding. We'll talk about that today. And is it legal on Jay Sekulow Live?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So you got to love this. So Mike Bloomberg, remember he announced he was going to spend $100 million to help Joe Biden win Florida. He announced that about a month ago. Okay, he's got billions. He's a billionaire. Fine, whatever. He can choose sides politically. What you can't do is violate election law, state election law. You can't buy votes for someone. That's kind of like a known thing you can't do in America. In fact, you can't give someone money to even donate to a candidate. You can't do that. You go to jail for that. And ask Dinesh D'Souza about that, where he was targeted for that for one time, a mistake there. And people go to jail for that. Much worse if you're talking about buying votes. And these morons on Mike Bloomberg's team and LeBron James' team, he's also doing it, by the way, put it in writing. They put it in writing what they were doing. So, I mean, the Department of Justice, like, open up the, where's the Civil Rights Division? Where's the Election Division? The state level at the Attorney General in Florida. They literally said, quote, "We have identified a significant vote share that requires a nominal investment" in their memo. "The data shows that in Florida, black voters are a unique universe, unlike any other voting bloc where the Democrat support rate tends to be 90% to 95%. So we will pay the court fines and fees of nearly 32,000 black and Hispanic Florida voters with felony convictions, because in Florida, once your fees have been paid, if you've already served your time, so you're out of prison, you can then vote again. You're restored with your voting rights." And they said it was an effort aimed at boosting turnout for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Now, Than, you just let us know there's protesters outside in the office in Washington, D.C. I don't think they're specifically protesting us yet at the ACLJ, but they're protesting, of course, the Senate moving forward on the nomination, whoever President Trump nominates on Saturday, but the fact that we have the votes to do that. But I just want to go around, Than, just to, because, again, I say moronic because they put it down in writing. They put down in writing they're trying to buy votes.
They didn't do this for white felons who, by the way,
didn't meet their voting class. They did this specifically targeted black and Hispanic voters because they vote 90%+ Democrat, they say.
Yeah, it's not intelligent. I'll just tell you, Jordan, just politically, I think it's politically tone deaf as well. Look, you can stuff ballot boxes. You sometimes can fraudulently turn an election. But one thing I don't think you can do is slip this past the American people. I think this is going to backfire on them. Now, look, there's got to be political election law enforcement that happens. But as far as appealing to the American people and appealing to undecided voters about having a fair and open process, Jordan, I'll just tell you, I think it will backfire. I think the American people know that this is fraudulent.
I mean, listen to this from the Washington Post. Desmond Meade, the group's president of this the group to like get the felons paid off so they can have their rights restored, said the group does not share Bloomberg's goal of empowering only one political side. So they've got the guy that they're fundraising for even saying they don't share the goal of only helping Democrats, only buying votes for Joe Biden. It goes on, by the way, because LeBron James is doing this. And so again, a high profile person, and listen to this. This is how the Washington Post ends their piece. Okay. Washington Post: Bloomberg's advisors identified that group as likely to vote for Joe Biden and more likely to vote than any other group of former felons. So they just paid it off for those felons, not the felons who might be likely to vote Republican. Think about that. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We come back. We'll go through the state law in Florida with Andy Economo. He's joining us now. There's also possibly federal violations, obviously, when it comes down to a federal election. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And sign our petition at ACLJ.org. Fill the seat. Let's get it done. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Secular Life. So I was on Sean Hayes' broadcast last night, television broadcast, and I was on with Congressman Matt Gaetz, and we were talking about this because Congressman Gaetz is from Florida, and he's brought this up with the Florida AG, and he pointed to, while we were on the air, the Florida statute. I want to read you this, because remember, we're talking about Mike Bloomberg paying off the fines for 32,000 felons in Florida so they can go vote. 32,000, by the way, was like the margin of victory for Ron DeSantis, something like that. Was it, Will? Right. It's like the margin of victory for Ron DeSantis was 32,000, something like that, or much, or maybe even less. It was a very close election. Here is the Florida criminal statute. It is Title 9, Section 104.61, corruptly influencing voting. This is Section 2. No person shall directly or indirectly give or promise anything of value to another, intending to thereby buy that person or another's vote, or to corruptly influence that person or another in casting his or her vote. Any person who violates this subsection is guilty of a felony. So I want to go to Andy Acama right now. Andy, that is the state law. And it goes so far as to say, even if you're indirectly trying to influence the person, and certainly, yes, if you know that you got your fines paid off so that you could go vote and Mike Bloomberg did it, I think you certainly meet thereby to buy that person or trying to influence them to vote Democrat, because you're saying, hey, this guy did a great thing for me, and so I probably should go vote the way he wants.
Well, that's exactly right, Jordan. The statute is written in such a way that it says you don't directly or indirectly give anything of value. Money is something of value. It's the ultimate thing of value, intending to buy that person's vote. And that's exactly what Bloomberg is trying to do, and those of his cohorts who are trying to do this, and the other groups that are allied together in this attempt to actually buy black and Hispanic votes for Biden, or to corruptly influence that person in casting his or her vote. Well, of course it's corrupt, because it's not saying vote your conscience, it's vote Democrat, and here's the proof of how you can do it. Come here, convicted felon, child molester, drug dealer. dealer, murder, burglar, robber, rapist. All of you have been convicted of crimes, and take advantage of this Florida vote that says if you've got restitution that you haven't made or fines you haven't paid, I'll pay it for you. But you know what you got to do? You got to go in that voting booth and you got to vote Democrat for Biden. Of course it's a crime, and the Attorney General of Florida and the state's attorneys throughout the state of Florida should be doing something about it. It's an attempt to undermine the sanctity and the integrity of this election in Florida, clearly. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know there's a target on Florida. I want our team, because, you know, I talked about with Sean Hannity last night how we're handling all these issues of trying to, you know, mail-in ballot. North Carolina, by the way, they changed the mail-in ballot rule to 9 days. So as long as it was postmarked on Election Day, it will count even if they get it 9 days later. Now, that will be challenged. 9 days. We were talking about how Pennsylvania sounded absurd to have these 3 days, what kind of chaos that could cause. And if it wasn't even, you know, you couldn't even see what day, if it wasn't postmarked at all, or if it was the postmark, you couldn't read. But in North Carolina, they're saying it's another battleground swing state. These are targeted states. The Democrat Party, by the way, is bringing that. And they're saying if you find the absentee ballot 9 days later, it's received by the post office, as long as it was postmarked on Election Day. Even if it's found 9 days later, it will count. Well, how are you going to come up with the who won the state if you're giving 9 extra days for votes to be counted already, right off the top? 9 extra days. This is to cause chaos. This is to sow confusion. This is to try and steal an election. See, it sets up all the ways to rig votes, to pack voting. I mean, the list goes on. Now, and Mike Bloomberg and the Washington Post, the morons they're writing the story, and I use the strong language because literally they could be putting people in. It's funny, they're paying off the fines of criminals, and it may be them committing felonies by doing so. So maybe someone, I guess Mike Bloomberg could pay his own felony fees, but that won't necessarily keep him out of prison for a felony. Is that they actually put in there that Mike Bloomberg, quote, saw the donations as a more cost-effective way of adding votes to the Democratic column than investing money to persuade voters who already have the right to vote, a Bloomberg memo said. I mean, Andy, that's buying the votes right there. They're saying instead of trying to persuade the voters, we'll just give them money. And that's a more effective way. Right. Well, of course it is, but it's illegal.
It is illegal, and it is vote buying. I mean, the vote buying is nothing new, Jordan. There's been vote buying for years and years and decades and decades, and this Florida statute has made it a crime to do that. So when Bloomberg is saying, well, I'm going to just go ahead and do it anyway. Now, I'm not saying what side you should vote for, but I'm going to buy your vote by essentially paying off your fine and your restitution, you convicted felon. In my view, no convicted felon should vote, period, whether he's paid his fine or her fine or restitution or anything. If you're a convicted felon, unless your rights have been restored to you by the Board of Pardons and Paroles or the governor in the state, you shouldn't be voting anyway under any circumstances. But in Florida, they allow you to do it if you have paid your fine and restitution. Bloomberg now has this all-out campaign to go out and buy these votes. That's
He's
a crime.
Only buying votes, Stan, of likely Democrat voters. I mean, imagine if, turn this around, a Republican billionaire goes into Florida and starts paying off these felons' debts and restitutions, and the majority of them are going to be white from rural areas, and they're going to be likely for Donald Trump. That guy would already be behind bars today after this story ran. The FBI would be at his house with guns.
If that were the case, Jordan, if the shoe were on the other foot, the words that you just read from Mayor Bloomberg, if they came from someone trying to stack votes on the Republican side of the aisle, Jordan, they would be Exhibit A in a prosecution against that person. And I would dare say, if you ask Andy this question as a former prosecutor, he would agree with that. And I would take it a step further, though, Jordan. I mean, look, even though we know that Mayor Bloomberg was trying to influence the election in this instance, I think even if he weren't trying to push the votes in one direction or another, he's probably in violation violation of this statute, because remember, the people involved are not eligible to vote unless what? Unless they receive this thing of value that he is giving them. So even if he showed the restraint, which he did not, but even if he showed the restraint of not trying to push them one way or another, he is physically enabling them to cast a vote that they are not eligible to cast. Jordan, I think that's a violation in and of itself.
You have to wonder, too, at this low number, where some of these fines are as low as $1,000, so someone like Bloomberg could go in and do this. Is he doing this anywhere else? I think we need to go and check that. So if we got our team listening, we should go and check. I know it's been very high profile because he said he's going to spend all this money in Florida. But, you know, there's a lot of other battleground states. I don't know if they have similar laws as Florida, but I'm sure many do have some kind of laws where, you know, if you pay things and certain things, you may be eligible. We need to check. Because is he trying to take advantage of the legal system anywhere else, where a law that I think, again, if you're on the side of Andy, you don't think felons should ever be able to vote unless they go through these processes of having their rights restored, or if you're on the side of what Florida tried to do in a way where, hey, if you've been released and you then pay all your monetary fines, you can have your voting rights restored. Either side you're on here, this is bad, what's happening here. Because he didn't just say, I want to donate to this group because they're doing the right thing. He said, I'm going to donate to this group so that black and Hispanic men get out and are able to vote. You know, the white guys, the Asian guys, no, not them. Just the blacks and Hispanics, that's it. Because we've looked at our demographic polls coming from their memo that there's a 95% chance they'll vote for Democrats. Just imagine if I did this plan, which isn't that expensive if we wanted to fundraise for it, for likely Trump voters. Is this a precedent we're going to set that's okay? Because then you're going to say, well, I'll donate to this group so that they handle it all, but I only want white males from rural areas of Florida, because I did a poll and 90% of them will vote for Donald Trump. And they'll be excited about it. And they're going to know who the money came from and know what side I'm on. Because that's what Mike Bloomberg did here. What do you think would happen to me? And if nothing is going to, why aren't we doing that? I mean, maybe, you know, if nothing's going to happen to these guys, if Mike Bloomberg is just going to walk away from this and no one's going to go get in trouble for this, then shouldn't we be doing the same thing? It's really not that expensive if you look at it. The average cost is about $1,000. So $32,000, you can put that money together. Republicans certainly could find those votes in a kind of... So, I mean, just think, I'm not saying that's the right thing, by the way. I'm just saying if this is okay, don't let them just take advantage of it. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of, you know, oh, we don't want to seek to their level. If they get, you know what? I mean, this is war, as we've talked about. This is war. The confirmation is war. What Bloomberg is doing is declaring war. Buying black votes is kind of like the worst of the worst of our history, too. I mean, it really is. And yet he's being praised for this. He should be going to jail. At least being investigated. At least that. At the state level and likely the federal level as well. We come back, we'll take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into the Supreme Court as well as that battle begins to get closer and closer, because we know that President Trump will announce on Saturday, and Lindsey Graham says he thinks the hearings will begin the week of October 12th. So very quick movement there. We'll be right back. Sign that petition to fill the seat at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live Plus. A new poll out showing on school choice, you know, as students are returning back to school, this virtual learning, or maybe going back with masks on, depending on where you are in the country and trying to figure all that out. And we're going to do another update soon about all the parents that we're representing and assisting, because it's over 1,000 that we're still representing, some that we were able to get handled. So some of those cases have been closed out. Others still coming in at aclj.org/help. But a new poll out, and I tweeted it, that this was done. You know, school choice was at about 67% wanted it. This was a poll of public school parents. And now that number in the last month has grown to 77%. 77%. I hope that message is heard loud and clear by President Trump and his campaign team. 77%. Of public school parents now support school choice. They don't care what the teachers' unions say. They don't care what their Democrat leaders have said. But you know who said they want to abolish it? The Democrat Party in the new platform for 2020. And Joe Biden, who also wants to get rid of charter schools. He thinks they're very misguided. Whatever that means. I mean, it was very bizarre. We do have a debate in less than a week. That will be very interesting to see. I probably guess who I'm rooting for in that, but again, I'm not going to tell you who to root for. You have a mind. You can make it up on your own. I do think that these voting issues are really, I think we're seeing the attempt to steal an election and an attempt to, if we can't steal it, at least let's sow so much confusion. Let's cause so much chaos. Let's make sure that you can still count an absentee ballot that you find 9 days after election day in a swing state like North Carolina, so that you can't call the election. We send the country into protest chaos. That's what we want to do. And by the way, all of this is being done by Democrats. Bloomberg's doing it for Democrats. He failed running as a Democrat candidate, so he's trying to influence the election with his money by getting felons to vote for Joe Biden. And he's targeting which felons to help so they get their voting rights restored in Florida, just black and Hispanic males. 32,000 of them, which is enough, they think, in Florida to even like turn an election. I mean, this is serious. This is serious. And they know who's paying their fine. And they know the intent of the person paying their fine, what they would like them to do in return. Can't force them to do it. But certainly, influence is what this is, what the law is about. Influence how someone votes with a thing of value. Paying their fines off, that's a thing of value. So we see that. We see the 9-day extension in North Carolina. We see the 3-day extension in Pennsylvania. It's happening all across the country. I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Frank in Florida online too. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my phone call. Yeah, you can get us from the horses up since I live here in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
My question is this. Does the state of Florida's constitution give Governor DeSantis right to not do this?
Well, I mean, there's a law on the books that allows and there's an organization that exists in Florida where people can donate to that then goes and handles this. They pay off the restitution and fines that the felons may still owe after they're released from prison to restore their voting rights. It's a 2018 law. So the law is on the books that way, and there's a group who can do that. The group even said, we don't agree with the way Mike Bloomberg is doing this for partisan reasons and how he's targeting a group of partisan, targeting who to help for partisan reasons. So literally, I mean, this is all on the record already. It's in the news. It's not something you have to dig for. There's no FOIA request necessary. And yet, they said they'll still take the money because it's helping their overall goal. So that's how they're trying to get around not looking like they are potentially violating and committing a felony. But it would be the Attorney General in Florida, Attorney General Moody. And in fact, maybe we could have on the broadcast, we should try Pam Bondi to talk about this tomorrow on the broadcast, because as a former Florida Attorney General, she may understand too, like how this could go, how they could legally begin the investigation. Is what kind of timeline could it be on? Could you shut it down? Could you bring charges quickly? Does it look like a violation to her? So we'll contact her. She's a good friend of ours. She also serves like with me, not really the ACLJ, but on the Trump legal team, on President Trump's outside legal team. And she was on Sean Hannity's broadcast right after me yesterday. So I think we should reach out to her, because we were talking yesterday on Sean Hannity with Matt Gaetz. Congressman Gaetz was talking about reaching out to Florida's current Attorney General Moody in Florida to do the investigation. So Pam Bondi would be able to shed a lot of light on that. In fact, we could try to reach her for this show as well. We'll try to do that for today's broadcast. So I want to take another phone call. Let's go to Yvonne in Oregon on line 3. Yvonne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, why haven't they already put Bloomberg, arrested him and put him in jail? That was a felony. It's not a matter of sinking to their level. Democrats go in the middle of the night dragging people out looking for stuff, trying to make up stories. This is a fact. This man violated in an extreme way, trying to interfere with our election. He should be behind bars already. I don't know what are they waiting for?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, listen, this came out yesterday, Yvonne. This just came out yesterday. So this was breaking news as of yesterday. I was on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast. It was just breaking. It was actually not the initial thing I was going to be talking about with Sean Hannity and with Congressman Gaetz. And then it broke in Washington Post and on the Hill. And we started to say, wow, I can't believe they're admitting that they are targeting who they are giving money to vote for a certain party. I mean, this seems like trying to buy votes. It is trying to buy votes. And Andy, I want to go back to you on this. When you try to buy votes, you're violating state and federal law. Just by trying to.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You don't buy votes. No person shall directly or indirectly give or promise anything of value to another intending to buy, quote, buy that person's or another's vote or corruptly influence that person in casting the vote. And that's what this is. It's vote buying, and it's blatant and it's obvious. Look, I have in my life prosecuted many people and have them had them convicted as felons and sent off to prison. What did I do that for? What was the purpose of those felony convictions? So that they could turn around and get Mike Bloomberg to pay their restitution or pay their fine so they could vote? The idea was to keep them out of the system because they were no longer eligible and didn't have a right, having committed felonies, child molestations, robberies, burglaries, murders. Do you want them voting? That's the whole idea. If you don't have a sanction for being a felon, then what in the world is a prosecutor for? Let's just close up all prosecution and go home and forget about it.
All right, folks.
But the Florida law says, you can pay your fine and your restitution,
yep,
and you're back in again to vote. Okay, that's fine, but you can't do it by the way Bloomberg is doing it, and that's buying the vote.
Let me just say, and this is what his advisor said. Mike, quote, Mike wanted to get this done for two reasons, said a Bloomberg advisor. One, because it's the right thing to do for democracy. Okay, whatever. And two, because it immediately activates tens of thousands of votes who are predisposed to vote for Joe Biden. I mean, this is coming from his own advisors. This is in the Washington Post. We are not unearthing this information. It's like they didn't check the law. A billionaire should have some legal team around him, right? That, like, hey, before you say comments like that. But no, they play fast. They play loose. They're Democrats. They think that no one will do anything about it. Oh, see, because we're helping convicted former felons who are black and Hispanic. So no one will do anything about what we're doing, which is illegal, right? All right, folks, second half hour coming up. Sign our petition at ACLJ.org to fill the Supreme Court vacancy, to fill that seat. Sign the petition, ACLJ.org. We know we will get the nominee announced on Saturday. Second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us for this second half hour of the broadcast. I'm going to get to your phone calls on what Mike Bloomberg is doing. But you know, there is another story, obviously, with the Supreme Court nomination. I thought, you know, to lighten the mood up a little bit. You know, we were all worried about Mitt Romney. In fact, when I was on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast earlier in the week, not TV last night, but radio broadcast earlier in the week, we were talking about, you know, who are we most concerned about potentially going the Murkowski-Collins route, and then, you know, if they could get to four, then Mike Pence wouldn't be the tie-breaking vote. Well, Cory Gardner came out, so he kind of squashed that. You know, he was going to be with the nominee. So, you know, you could lose three. It'd be a tight margin, but the vice president can be the 51st vote. But then Mitt Romney did the right thing. And now Mitt Romney, someone I bet a lot of you listen to this broadcast for, voted for in 2012, maybe even in 2008. I worked for him in 2008, and did support him in 2012, and was, as a member of President Trump's legal team, was not too happy about his vote in the impeachment. But, you know, to play a line from Dumb and Dumber, sometimes people do things. Let's play it.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Mitt Romney when he came out yesterday. I just wanted to play that for everybody. Put that out there. Did you kind of feel that way about Mitt Romney? You know, I mean, he was the guy, he also promised, you know, conservative nominees and all this. He didn't win the presidential election, but it was kind of like a redemption moment, I will say. I felt it. And it was, you know, to a lighter mood too, because it was like we were sitting there and the people say, what are you doing? You're half voting for impeachment? You're supposed to be a Republican, and you realize this was a partisan impeachment, right, from the House, that you're the only Republican now joining on this. This is what you're going to be known for? Well, maybe now he's going to be known for doing the right thing in this very tough election season on the Supreme Court. And for that, I think he's starting to redeem himself. I'll put it that way. In my world, he's starting to redeem himself. He has not yet completely redeemed himself. I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're going to get to people's phone calls, but Than, people are, and there's a lot of calls about this, about RICO laws. Yes, you know, there could be RICO issues. I mean, we'll explain that. I know we have calls about that, but Than, overall, it's just the climate. It's like he's buying black votes. And what if I was going to buy white votes? Because I knew then that they'll vote a certain way. I mean, that bottom line, that's what he is literally admitting to. You take out all of the filler of the article, he's buying black male votes. And that's okay in America for a billionaire to do in 2020.
And the reporting on it, Jordan, I would just tell you, is not honest, because it's run through the filter of agreement with the strategy of Mayor Bloomberg. And one comment I just want to make real quickly on the Supreme Court. Remember yesterday how we had the conversation that maybe the vote of Lisa Murkowski, that story wasn't fully written yet? Well, she has told an Alaska newspaper that maybe she will vote for the nominee in the end. She still doesn't think the process should move forward, but it's going to move forward without her. She wants to see a nominee and evaluate it. So, Jordan, it just reiterates the importance of voters continuing continuing to press in on issues that matter to them, because senators can change their mind. I don't think the story is fully written on her. But look, as it relates to this Mayor Bloomberg story, I would just make this comment. The chaos strategy that is pursued by the left, their goal is twofold, Jordan. Number one, it's to open as much time of chaos as possible. That's not why we're going past Election Day, now up to 9 days after. And then it's to open up as many exceptions as possible. So you might have to focus on felons. You also have to focus on 9 days after the election. You want as much time and as many different places for the lawyers to look at, because that's when the most things can sneak through. Jordan, those are the two layers of a chaos strategy. It's in full deployment now.
Full deployment. I mean, he's doing this literally, Bloomberg. I mean, it's 40, you know, some odd days away from the election. So taking action would be very quick. You'd have to have the hand of justice very quick. And at most, you'd probably be getting to like the grand jury stage. But that would certainly send a message to stop and halt this kind of activity. When we get back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're hearing for more election shenanigans. Pat in Michigan's got some coming up for us, too. We'll take their call when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember to sign the petition at ACLJ.org. Fill that vacancy, ACLJ.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I'm going to get right to the phone calls. Pam in Kentucky, online 3. Pam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm not sure you've answered this yet, but the question is, do Bloomberg's antics fall under the RICO laws?
So RICO law, just so people know, people throw that term around, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, to go after against like organized crime or organized efforts. And I want to go to Andy Economy on this. It was brought up last night, Andy, when I was on with Sean Hannity, because Florida and many states, they have their own RICO-type laws, and of course it exists at the federal level. I think this could potentially be there. It could potentially be there because of all the info we're gleaning just from the media.
Yes, it can. You know, every state has enacted a Son of RICO statute that is kind of similar to the federal RICO statute. We've got one in Georgia, and they have one in Florida. And what it means is you shall not engage in a pattern of racketeering activity. This doesn't necessarily mean organized crime. We're not looking at the mob families in New York. This simply means two or more predicate acts of criminal activity, usually indictable offenses, felonies, that form a pattern of racketeering activity. So if you engaged in two or more acts of felonious conduct and corruptly influencing voting under the Florida statute, it would qualify. Then you have engaged in a RICO enterprise, and you can be held liable civilly and criminally for having engaged in violations of the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. This is something that law enforcement in Florida ought to be looking into.
1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we looked this up too, and Will, our producer, pulled up this list. There's 11 states where felons have to take additional action to get voting rights back. Arizona, Iowa, and Virginia are on that list. I would tell you folks, look in your local news to see if you're seeing anything about this. We will too, about these kind of it's not so much that groups may exist to help, you know, former felons get back on their feet. But are there people, are there liberal groups going in to buy certain voters to help them get back on their feet, but not just generally, not just making a donation to a group to help lots of people, but going and saying, we'll give you this money to do this, but only if you do it for the black and Hispanic voters, because they're 90-95% chance likely to be voting for Joe Biden. So it's more effective than trying to, this is to quote Bloomberg's own people, it's more effective than trying to persuade those voters to vote for Joe Biden. We can just buy their vote. I mean, that's if it's more, if you're not even, they're just saying that it's more effective to just buy the person than to persuade. Now, I was thinking that by paying off their bills, that may be the persuading part, but they're saying, they're pretty much guaranteeing and saying, we do this, we're getting the vote for Joe Biden. So, again, look out for it in your state. Arizona, Iowa, Virginia, and there's, you know, eight other states that do this. But I want to go to Pat in Michigan on line one, because there's more election chaos attempting to be so. Let's go to Pat. You're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you for all the good work you are doing.
Thank you, Pat.
I just wanted to make the comment that Michigan is wanting to accept mail-in votes ballots 2 weeks, 14 days after election day, and I just think that is so crazy and definitely not a good idea.
I mean, 2 weeks they're going to accept. I mean, see, this to me, Than, this is, again, it goes to just, it is chaos. It is so that you don't have the election called on election night, because what they'll say is, we have got this many outstanding ballots we know were mailed out. So if 80% come back, well, that could sway the where the Electoral College goes. So, you know, we got two more weeks to count them. So, you know, we're not gonna be able to call this state and call that state, and then you put a few of these together, and you won't know who the president is, and it'll all be up to courts and causing chaos, protests in the street.
Jordan, it's going to happen everywhere. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to happen everywhere, and it's going to happen in places where the election isn't that close. And why is it going to happen in places where the election is not that close? Because it's going to spread the resources thin of the people that have to defend it. So the places where the election is close, there will be less eyeballs on it. So look, people have got to be vigilant. You mentioned the states where felons have to take an additional action to restore their voting rights. You know, at least those three states of Arizona, Iowa, and Virginia might be close in addition to Florida. But Jordan, I would read all of those states: Alabama, Arizona, Delaware, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Nebraska, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wyoming. Jordan, I would tell you those are potential locations for that particular act. And one thing I would also just add, just going back to the RICO conversation you had with Andy a minute ago, and maybe he wants to expound on this, I don't know, but I would think that every time you would pay something of value to a felon to enable them to vote would probably be a separate violation. So Andy said you needed multiple violations. Well, you know, if the reporting is true, we're talking about 32,000 separate violations. I think that's probably a little more than two.
Yeah. I mean, explain that, Andy, too. I mean, I think, you know, that would be an interesting for people to understand, because how do you qualify for this RICO, which is at the Florida level and, of course, the federal level, and then how many potential violations there could be here?
Every one is a potential felony, and all you need is a pattern, and a pattern consists of two. That's all. In Georgia and in the federal RICO statute, you got to have two predicate acts, two criminal acts that are felonies or indictable offenses. So every time he pays the money, he commits an indictable offense, which is a felony. He has committed, if he's done two or more, then he's committed a pattern of racketeering activity and could be liable criminally under the RICO statute. So if he does it 32,000 times, no one's going to bring an indictment with 32,000 predicate offenses. I wouldn't do that. I would get selected ones, but enough to allege a pattern of RICO activity. I've written many RICO indictments in my life, plenty of them, and have read plenty of them too, and there are multiple counts that you can say are predicate acts, that is, crimes that are indictable, that could qualify as a RICO violation. RICO meaning racketeer, influence, and corrupt organization, and that's not limited to the Gambino families and the Joe Banana families in New York. That is just plain garden variety crime.
Here is Attorney General Pam Bondi, former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, talking about this. She was just on Fox News, Bite 36.
Now he comes in trying to pay $20 million to pay fines for convicted felons so they could vote. You know what? Republican registrations are up higher than they've ever been. We're closer than we've ever been. So, you know, he needs to spend this money back in his state. People aren't leaving New York. They're fleeing New York. And so he needs to get over this obsession with my state and focus on helping his state because it's not working for him.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this could, again, it could end up serious trouble. It is on right now a lot. I mean, I've turned on, we have the TVs on in the studio, and Fox has been covering it show by show by show. So when you, and you do that, Andy, I think also you get the attention of prosecutors, you get the attention of the Department of Justice. I mean, that's how you, they watch TV too. And this was in the Washington Post. And by the way, many a crime they find in the news.
That's right. I find many crimes watching the news. Watch it all the time. You can find criminal activity, and it exists everywhere. If he's buying votes in Georgia, I hope Georgia prosecutors who are listening right now, and I'm talking about Jackie Johnson, my DA down in Brunswick Circuit, I hope she's looking at this and checking this out to see if he's trying to buy votes in the Brunswick Circuit.
You know, I mean, there you go. There you go. I mean, you're hearing it, right, folks? I mean, this is, it's not that unusual. So the media starts talking about it, and then you start this whirlwind. That is how oftentimes you get the attention of the prosecutors, of the attorney generals at the state level, of even the U.S. attorney general, the Department of Justice, the right people in the divisions. They start saying, well, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't, what I'm hearing appears wrong. I need to look further into this. I'm going to investigate. And if I believe that the crime was committed, then I would panel a grand jury and move on from there. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have one final segment coming up on Jay Sekulow Live at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than, one unfortunate casualty, it seems, in all of this chaos on Capitol Hill, which shouldn't have to be this way. It's because they figured out how to fund the government, by the way. They figured out how to fund themselves, but they're not figuring out anything when it comes to COVID relief.
Yeah, they're not. They have not reached an agreement, Jordan, but I'm glad you brought it up because there actually is one point of the debate that I think people deserve to hear, and that's the fact that as we've advocated for school choice to be a part of that, Jordan, you mentioned it briefly earlier in this show, one of the things that we've heard back repeatedly is that, oh, teachers' unions are never going to let Speaker Pelosi pass a bill that includes school choice. So, Jordan, you're at a situation where one of the hurdles to accomplishing COVID relief is the fact that Speaker Pelosi is so beholden to the teachers' union. You've got a situation where plenty of school districts aren't even open. And even in that atmosphere, Jordan, the left in Washington, D.C. opposes federal dollars following the student rather than the school district that is not even open. But that's how beholden to the teachers union they are in Washington, D.C. So as of now, the government will be funded. That CR passed the House yesterday, but no deal on COVID relief still.
Yeah, that is just absurd. Now, the president can take a lot of action through executive action. I think he will have to do that, and he's pledged to do that if he has to. And I dare some Democrats, you know, are they going to challenge that, challenge helping people out, need to pay their bills? We'll be back. Final segment of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, a final segment of the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't want to ignore, too, the Supreme Court battle as well. You know, it's funny because we had this poll by Aaron Gulbranson of our research team for our radio broadcast, and say all these threats in recent history the Democrats have made. In recent years, Democrats floated court packing as a viable avenue to ensure a left-leaning Supreme Court. This has happened back in 2018 following the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. AOC told voters during an October 2018 campaign event that Democrats should, quote, pack the Supreme Court of the United States after taking the House, Senate, and presidency. So these threats are nothing new. They go back to 2018. 2019, Democrats threatened the Supreme Court of the United States. They renewed their warning again the following year over pending decisions on the Second Amendment and other issues. In early 2020, the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer threatened, remember, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh by name over the potential result of a pro-life case. And we even wrote a blog about that at aclj.org. He said, quote, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. I mean, threatening Supreme Court. This was down on the steps of the Supreme Court, by the way, before they even made a decision. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. You won't know what hit you. I mean, we've seen the threats before, Than. My advice to Republican senators, and I think Mitch McConnell has dealt with many, these are tough guys, Lindsey Graham, ignore them. And that's what they've been doing.
Yeah. You know, when you don't make these threats, Jordan, when you're either winning elections or you're confident you're about to win elections, you make these threats when you're being getting beat at the polls or when you don't think you're going to win the White House or when you don't think you're going to win the United States Senate. Because, look, there is a way that they can be in charge of making these nominations and being in charge of whether or not to confirm them to the United States Senate. You have to go to the American people and you have to make the case that you're the ones that they should want to pick those. Jordan, they're getting beat at the ballot box, and so they resort to these threats. If they started winning, they wouldn't have to do it. But since they're getting beat, those threats are going
to
continue.
Well, I mean, listen to this. Nancy Pelosi was on a New York Times podcast yesterday. Take a listen to what she had to say. Bite six, more threats.
What is your power to do this? I get the election, but you can get up more, you can speak out more, you can do more impeachments, things like that. Do you have enough power?
Well, we can impeach him every day of the week for anything he does. In fact, for 200,000 people dying. Well, because, look, the American people want to know what we're doing that affects them directly.
We can impeach him every day of the week for anything he does? I mean, it's supposed to be anti-high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, that you could again, you could have debate over what that means a little bit, but so there's some wiggle room. But for anything he does, that's the standard we're going to set for impeachment now. I can't wait for a Republican House and Senate to just start to use that rule against the in the future. Sometime there will be a Democrat president. I'd love to. We'll just impeach them the entire time they're there based off the Pelosi rule.
You're obviously not reading the Constitution as she reads it. I read the Constitution as saying high crimes and misdemeanors. She says you can impeach him every day of the week for anything he does. What a stupid remark. That is a remark of a stupid person. Well, and I've got
to she's called Crazy
and this
Nancy,
is the Speaker of the House?
Crazy Nancy, not just by me, not just by the president, but by even those on CNBC. Who then, I respect your office so much. He never said, I respect you so much, by the way, Jim Cramer, if you notice. He said, I respect your office so much. Not like, I'm not calling you crazy, but your office, and I was trying to intimidate. But it's even crazier because, good morning, Sunday morning. Remember that from the George Stephanopoulos interview? But is the New York Times reporter just, this is supposed to be reporters. Why aren't you doing this? Why not impeach? Impeach, impeach, impeach. I got to get to the phone calls. We'll do these very quickly. We got three to take. We're going to take all three. Patty in Massachusetts, line six, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm wondering if anyone has already indicted Bloomberg, and if not, will ACLJ press charges against him?
ACLJ cannot press charges. We can do civil work. Only the government, Andy, can bring, just very quickly, only the government, state, local, federal, can bring criminal charges.
Yeah, ACLJ is not a prosecutorial agency. The people who can do this are the attorneys general of the various states and the district attorneys, and they ought to be looking at this very hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, there you go, quick answer there. Let's go to Bill in California, line four. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Hi, hello, Gordon. Hey, listen, restitution. How do we know these 32,000 felons paid restitution? Boy, the great economic loss that they could have caused, medical costs, personal property, psychological.
Yeah.
How do we know they paid off restitution? Thank you.
So,
have a good day.
So, Bill, what's interesting, and Andy, they're using Bloomberg's team is using a specific organization that specializes in this in Florida. And what that organization does is make sure what Bill just says. How do they figure this out? That organization has figured it out. And the head of the group, Andy, said, we don't share Bloomberg's goal of empowering only one political side in the upcoming election, but different people give for different reasons, and we're in this for one reason, to help people.
Yeah,
so he's got a group that specializes in getting this done.
He does, and it's tailored to do it. Restitution, of course, means, for example, in economic crimes where you've swindled someone out of $30,000, you've got to pay restitution as part of your sentence. And they don't have the money to do that because they've swindled people out of the money. So Bloomberg comes in with his organization, and he gives them $30,000 to the probation officer or the parole officer, depending on the jurisdiction, and they get their right to vote back restored to them. Very simple. It's all a matter of money.
Yeah, I mean, so again, all a matter of money. Sue in Oklahoma, final call of the day. Sue, you're on the air.
Yeah, here's my concern about Bloomberg and LeBron. They will do this. They hope that they will win the election. And if they do, no one will prosecute. We've already seen how these things happen. No one, they get by with it. So what do we do? And honestly, I'm worried the Republicans won't have the stomach to fight it.
Well, let's give them a day. Let's give them a day. It came out yesterday that this was happening, and the way it was happening, and Bloomberg's team actually laid it out. We may never have found out about it if they hadn't have wanted articles about it and spoken to the press about it. So I think, again, there's state AGs, there's district attorneys, there's the U.S. attorneys, the federal level. There are divisions within the Department of Justice that look at voting rights. They also look at civil rights violations, potentially. And, of course, the RICO statutes, both at the federal and state level. Give it a couple days before you've written off that they don't have a stomach for it yet. But I do understand your concern. And obviously, Bloomberg shouldn't be able to escape at least an investigation into this. I think it at least calls for an investigation. Just from what I know from the media. I haven't gotten all the files. I don't know all the info. But for everybody who's flapping, their mouth, including the head of the group he gave the money to, it sounds pretty close to illegal act. And whether or not that would be it meet the RICO standard or not, well, it doesn't even have to meet that. It could just meet the Florida state statute standard, and that's a felony in the state of Florida. So it should be investigated. Maybe it's already being investigated. Sometimes we don't know that. But certainly when the media comes out like this, that is what gets the attention of those in law enforcement. We need to be so vigilant in what is happening in this election. They are trying to steal the election, folks, on the left. They are trying to steal this election. Make that. It is clear. You can read about it in the Washington Post. Seriously. Trying to steal the election. But there are things we can do, like fill the Supreme Court seat. They can't stop it. We just got to make sure the Republicans keep their backbone. Sign our petition at ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.